Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Renee Alberts, guest host of Prosody, and my guest tonight is the poet Kelly Stevens Kane. Kelly Stevens Kane's poetry appears in numerous journals, including The Mom Egg, Quelly Journal, and Mythium Literary Journal. She's an alum of the Vona and Hurston Wright Poetry Workshops, the editor of Planet Saturday Comics, and the author of an oral history manuscript about Pittsburgh's Hill District. She has performed at the August Wilson Center for African American Culture, as well as other local and national venues. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to start us off with some poems?
Yeah, I'd love to. And I'll just tell folks that the poems in this manuscript have numerical titles. So when you hear me saying numbers, you won't be confused. 9. It's nighttime. When the sickness spreads out, when the cramps grip tighter, when the lost souls of earlier dead encircle me and blow ancient germs in my face. I am miserable, my feet are cold, and I want to be alone. That's what we wanted to chant the souls blowing in circles. 42. Welcome, brain. To the last moments before sleep, drugged with fatigue, I slide my words up and down, and my hot hands catch odd associations on paper. I'm losing contact with the little people, the ones who live in radios and sing. My face, red, with upstairs running. We're in the radio right now. 63. These dreams I will carry with me like waves in the air above heat or gasoline. Awake in this flaunted house, all kinds of spirit guests walk through. And they'll just have to watch me eat because I'm not running a restaurant for the dead. They can do like we did in preschool and hand each other pretend food, air biscuits, invisible hamburgers, and double scoops of nothing. I hunger for these dreams. I draw one in, and she curls up, pondering my stomach, tasting womb, deciding nothing. 35. And this is the title poem from the manuscript. Of course, everything revolves around me, the moon, the stars, the grocery clerks. Picture me higher than the clouds, orchestrating lightning flashes. Who here knows about science? I'm not talking about beakers and Bunsen burners. I'm talking about hallelujah science. Seashell and fossil science. Look out the window, collision science. Too many people bother me. I ought to cook them in soup. This one's called 40. When I die, I will miss the dark green shape of ivy, and I will miss bark chips. When I die, I will miss the sound of any living creature's breathing, especially dogs, the texture of oatmeal, and the sound of a volleyball being punched into the sky. When I die, I will miss indentations left on noses from eyeglasses, the shrinking voice of a child speeding away on a bicycle, singing the Lone Ranger theme song, and leaning from side to side on my bike, making sine waves on cement. When I die, I will miss yogurt and thinking about active yogurt cultures and being multicultural in every spoonful. The feeling of throwing sticks into water and watching them drown. The feeling of sitting on a hot car seat in shorts, touching a hot steering wheel and starting to drive. When I die, I will miss searching the house, scared to find the cause of a sound never before heard? The feeling of realizing an ant is crawling across my skin, and the waking up of every cell when midday I remember a dream. I will miss shin splints and peeling the skin off steamed yams. I will miss swimming and chlorine eyes. When I die, I will miss the feeling of weight, the smell of dirt from above, and the mystery of hidden roots that sow the soil together when I die.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Renee Alberts, guest host of Prosody, and my guest tonight is the poet Kelly Stevens Kane, reading from her manuscript, Hallelujah Science. Kelly, you mentioned that Hallelujah Science is composed of largely very brief, numbered poems, and in the manuscript itself, they don't appear in numerical order. I think that's a really unique way to compile a manuscript. Can you talk about how you came to compose it that way?
Yeah, I think what I was going for is an early sign that we're not in a rational, orderly world. And, much like at least my creative process, things don't happen in an order that I may have wanted them to happen. And so I think part of it is that. Part is literally a love of numbers. at the time, I will admit to a fear of titles, but I think the numerical titles actually served this manuscript better than I could have done with words.
I think that sense of departing from the ordinary is present in the work, too. There are these moments of surprising movements from the ordinary, like when you mentioned the grocery store. And then a couple lines later, the speaker is saying, "Too many people bother me. I ought to cook them in soup." Can you talk about making those leaps from?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that I love in writing poetry, particularly, is inconsistency in the sense of not hitting a monotone. So if there's, something that's funny, and then sad, and then I'm suddenly confused. And I like that. And I almost, as I was thinking about this before I came, I think the word is iridescent for this manuscript because, at one angle, everything's dying. And then you shift a little bit and there's all this birth. And, there's kind of a foot in a lot of different worlds. And I think I'm just attracted to that. I think it's an obsession.
All right. Does that have to do with the way that you sequence the poems? Because hearing them in different orders brings out those different threads.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I was trying, I mean, if you put together a manuscript, there's always that question of order. And there, it's kind of a magical process. And, how do you know you're done? There's no blueprint for your manuscript. You're creating that. And I noticed for me, as I rearranged the poems, each poem gets new meaning depending on, it's like a DJ making segues between songs. It feels a little different if this poem's next door to this poem. And but I even like within one poem hitting different notes or something that you could come back to and one day read it as just a funny little poem, and the next day go, wait, this is kind of deep.
All right. Can you share some more with us?
I'd love to. 10. When I was 5, I used to rise up out of myself and watch me from behind. I told my mama, and she stayed calm. I told my mama, and she let me double. 76. Trying to fall asleep here is as easy as relaxing in a doorway during an earthquake. I am a human X marking the spot between this world and the next. No matter where I am, I'm in the middle of something, in the middle of something lost. I actually realized there's a couple earthquakes in this manuscript that I didn't realize. This one's called One. Arms float as wings, legs dangle as anemone, fingers leave jet trails, toes drag through mud. Everything is taller, lasts longer, is slower, moves softer. Cradle me, treetop me, baby me, fall. 65. 17 sisters cling to my pelvis. One of them scratched my concept out. She didn't do it. No one did. It's impossible. 85. Inside this fever is a waterproof garden, growing seeds that cannot sprout unless you stop thinking. 18. If I could put my head aside, I would twist it like a thermos lid and pour out all the hot blood and broken glass and poison applesauce and leave me standing. 55. Close your eyes and stare at the sun. See the particles floating around the bright red Jupiter of your eyeball. Which one will be yours? They are waiting to be born. So a lot of these poems are short, obviously, but this one's really, really short. And the introduction was just longer than the poem, but if I don't introduce it, it might be over before it starts. 74. Take the lid off the blender while blending and know that a splatter is pending. 84. My father juggles eggs, and one time the ceiling caught one. The yellow yolk landed laughing. That's actually a true story, but the next one is not. 44. The wind blew my house down, so I moved into a sailboat. The wind messed my hair up, so I cut it all off. The wind made my eyes water, so I took up a collection for the sea. The wind threw the clouds out, so I threw wet cotton balls on my ceiling. The wind raised my skirt up, so I mooned it and got arrested. There was no wind in jail. 86. Below my sky, small leaks allow lost souls to find family. I poke more holes.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Renee Alberts, guest host of Prosody, and my guest tonight is the poet Kelly Stevens Kane, reading from her manuscript, Hallelujah Science. Something that I find really exciting about these poems is the speaker's very deep engagement with her body, and especially the female body. There are all of these moments that muse on cramps and fertility. And can you talk about your approach to writing about the female body? I feel like that's something that's not terribly present in poetry.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too, obviously. And I'm glad it came through. Mm-hmm. The raw material from this book came from a period of my life where, I was teaching preschool and with a whole bunch of little bodies. And I'll say that, you know, that environment was actually the amniotic fluid in which I became a poet. It wasn't from taking poetry classes or reading poetry. It was just listening to children speak and the way that they really reinvent the language And it just turned something on in me that became a poet. At the same time, I didn't even realize this, but in preschool teaching, that was my time of wanting to have a baby. And so I didn't have one yet, so I immersed myself in other people's babies. And so there was a lot of physicality in that and a lot of desire to create. And so I'll say that in writing and trying let me take a switch here. I'll say that I didn't really intend to write this manuscript. I was writing. And I think sometimes you sit down and go, I want to capture this. Mm-hmm. This was really from the inside out. I was just pouring things out and later discovered that I was writing about that subject matter.
But the approach, these aren't sort of fluffy mommy poems. These are there's a real intensity to them. And I think that that's an interesting approach. How did you?
Yeah, I think I know what you're getting at. In a way, I think that the manuscript is actually a documentary of sorts, a documentary of my subconscious at the time. All of that material was very physically present in my body, and in just kind of, I don't know what happens to people when they write, but I kind of go into my own otherworldly state, I guess, and see what comes out. It's almost like I was thinking of you go into the haunted house at Halloween and they stick your hand in that gooey thing of grapes and you don't know what it is. So, you know, I don't know what I'm going to get when I sit down. And you know, you'll see as I'm reading, a lot of times I'm grabbing that womb area and I realize that that it definitely is physical.
So I'm hearing that the poems themselves feel physical to you.
Yeah, they feel both physical and kind of ethereal, mm-hmm. because I think there's a leaving the body and a coming back into the body.
I think you can definitely see that in the work. There's this sense of betweenness. You have that line about being the X, the human X that marks the space between worlds.
Right.
And there is this sense of bringing things, whether, you know, children or some other sense of the speaker out into the world and receiving things back. And I think that's where some of those moments of encountering happen.
Yeah. How do we bring things into our world and how do they leave the world? And I think I'm just for some reason came to Earth. If you look at my website, you'll see a picture of me that, you know, has kind of two states in it. And for some reason, I don't know, we all have our obsessions, but I'm very interested in between states. And it's all through here. The membrane, it's almost like the edge of the membrane of the threshold between something, just that, where is that?
Yeah.
And trying to touch that is just endlessly fascinating.
You've had some fascinating results with it.
Thanks.
Let's hear some more of those results.
Okay. 43. If I keep my feet up, wings will sprout out the sides and my baby toes will give birth to peanuts. If I keep my feet up, my knees will stare at my eyeballs and my sunblock will give birth to a pirate eye patch. If I keep my feet up, my eyes will be sewn together by lashes, and my lack of sight will give birth to a better sense of taste, if I keep my feet up. This next poem is going to come out next year in one of my favorite journals called The Mom Egg, and it's so fitting. They publish work by mothers, or if you're not a mom, work on motherhood topics. So as a mom, I could write whatever I wanted, and this is what I sent them and will come out. 83. It's been too long since the last earthquake. I jump up and down trying to start something. The glasses in the cabinet clink together like wind chimes. I can hear them. Nothing breaks. It's been too long since the last earthquake. The bed vibrates when a bus goes by. I jump up and down trying to start something. The landlord pounds to say quit it. My dad called me the instigator because I used to tell my mom on him for waving to women and eating fast food. Now I'm on to bigger things. I am sure I'll be able to do it. In my dreams, when I jump up and down trying to start something, buildings leap up into the sky and the holes they used to stand in say, ah. Why can't I start something sweet, like a big umbrella over a small child, or start something small, like a kiss? I need to knock something over so I can start over. I am strong enough to shake the planet. And by the time the shaking's over, a song will be left standing. A song will be left standing. I am so convinced at the typewriter, my fingers jumping up and down, trying to start something. It's been too long since the last earthquake. The first movement comes. I jump up and down. This one has a little element of some preschool in it. 82. Terrible boy, telling me I have two faces, one on my head, one on my stomach. Terrible girl, asking if I'm pregnant, saying I look like I am when I am not. Of course, I would have never said that to a child, but, you know, sometimes kids share things with you that are so insightful and you know, they're closer to that membrane between worlds than we are. And I had a picture that one boy made me that was just a rectangle with some dots in it, and he sometimes wanted words to go with the picture. And I said, do you want me to write something? He said, yeah. He said, write, this is Kelly. You have a lot of eyes.
Wow.
So, you know, we love when children say things like that.
Yeah.
When they say, you know, you look like you're pregnant. And that's a sore spot.
That's not too charming coming from anyone if you're not.
Yeah, yeah. 61. I like my showers scalding hot. And I like to touch the lids of boiling pots of water. Lately, though, I've been getting burned. I've lost a lot of my fingerprints. So I went out and bought some oven mitts, and I'm trying to adjust to my new self, the unspeakable opposite of invincible.
That poem especially raises another theme in these in the sequence, which is these fluctuations in power that the speaker has. She goes from, you know, causing earthquakes or orchestrating lightning flashes to being the unspeakable opposite of invincible. How did that come about?
I think that's just the way it is. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but in any creative process, this is part of the iridescence. You know, one angle, you know, you're going to shake the entire planet, and the other, as you said, completely, you can't even say the word for the opposite of invincible. And certainly in the creative process, even in writing, in one session of writing, I can go from, you know, unbelievable feeling of heat and just power churning through me and, you know, this incredible creative strength to what in the world am I doing, and, you know, what am I writing? This is, you know, ridiculously horrible. And so I think there just is that sine wave that's, at least to me, more real than a monotone. Like it's a constant fluctuation.
I think there is a lot of honesty in that. And reading them, feeling that fluctuation and witnessing this speaker going between those poles creates a real thrill and a real engagement.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's an EKG. you know, of the creative process. You know, our heartbeat isn't even just boom, boom. You know, when you see that graph, it's all over the place. I guess that's just it is exciting for me. It's also, a roller coaster that, you know, has its, better days and worse days. But I would rather have that than you know, sit on the same
flat line.
Train every day. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. We have time for one more.
Okay. 37. Turning bad apples into baked apples. I am happy about brown sugar and heat. And look forward to throwing some ice cream on top. I love anything brave enough to melt.
The poetry of Kelly Stevens Kane. Thank you so much for being here, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in at our new time, every Wednesday night at 7:30, for Prosody 91.3 WYEP.